best Kiwi event in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
3, 2, 1, go!
Welcome to the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast, season 3, episode 3. This is a strength training edition brought to you by Team CP, your endurance coaching specialist. I've got Matt Sherwood along with me tonight. How are you getting on, Matt?
Pretty good, thanks, Rich. A few technical glitches tonight, but we're good to go. So let's rock into the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, you've been involved in this Coast to Coast malarkey for many years now, led the support crew for us for the longest stay for a few years, another service that we offer. Just to get underway, just to sort of get a feel for the show, let's start with the first transition. It's, hey, we're a bit nervous in the show tonight, just like we are on the race start as well. So that first transition, it's an iconic part of the race. And as by the first transition, I'm talking about you're running off the beach, you're ditching your shoes, you're getting on your bike and you're trying to find a bunch or and ride your way and get started in the race, get a few nerves washed away and get your pedals going. So could you paint us a bit of a picture about what happens there and maybe one or two key tips to make sure that that part of your race, the key race that really sets up your day, goes well?
Yeah, well, I guess that first part of the morning is, I guess, people are kind of have mixed emotions. They're either packing themselves or they're just super excited to be there. And we've seen people at both ends of the spectrum, and we really kind of, you know, it's really good to see people G'd up. For two-day competitors, the first transition, it is actually reasonably organised. It's all lit. For two-day competitors, it will be sunrise. It should be some light there. Mm-hmm. One-day competitors, definitely dark. So big key safety issue there is around staying off the road. There's a lot of traffic. It's dark, and there's kind of people everywhere. So, yeah, key tip, stay off the road and keep yourself safe. When you rack your bike, there are racks up. They're normally numbered. There is plenty of lighting at the transition, so don't worry if it is a bit dark. Rack your bike where it's supposed to go in numbers, and it's always good just to kind of go back to the entry to the transition area and count how many rows that your bike is in, because it's pretty easy when you arrive there in a state. It's easy to kind of forget where your bike is. Two other key things there. Clip your shoes onto your pedals. It's invariably bikes will get moved along the row a little bit or something just because, you know, the bikes don't all fit in. So if you've got your shoes clipped onto your bike, then if your bike gets moved, your shoes go with it rather than having to look around for your shoes. The other key tip is, could I just have a word in there?
The key bit there, some people will be not doing the flying leap and get pedaling. So and they'll have their shoes beside their bike. I guess even if that can be a little bit of a challenge for some, because that's maybe something that people haven't practiced. So yeah. what would you say there if that's something that they're not shooting for?
So the other thing too is some people will put their bike shoes up on their handlebars and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty obvious to see. Again, that can be another thing. It's easy to see your bike. So just think about where your shoes and stuff might be. The next part of that is actually getting on your bike. Again, you're kind of pushing your bike across a gravel transition area and up onto the main road. The road has got a bit of a camber in it. And more often than not, we see potential crashes here and near misses. And it's normally because people are not confident getting on their bike. They get on their bike and the first thing they do is look at their feet, not look where they're going. Someone up the road stopped and then, you know, crashes kind of can happen from that, and you haven't even started the race properly. So practice that in your driveway, pushing, getting on your bike, getting one foot in, pedal one legged if you have to, just to get moving and get kind of clear of that kind of area where everyone's getting on their bikes. If you're not confident getting on your bike, just stay to the edges and let kind of the main people go through. The other key point, I know I have lots of key points, but this is really, really important. Make sure you read the handbook and the correct version for your event, for your year. There's heaps of information in there. It can be a bit overwhelming to start with, but it's all broken down really well. It tells you what you need to have, where you need to go, where your support crew needs to go, and all those sorts of things. One last key point. Before you leave your support crew, make sure you've got your transponder on, that your wheels go around, and that your brakes aren't rubbing. Because once you get on your bike, you don't want to be dealing with any of that stuff. So there's a few five key points.
That's good. Matt, you've made me nervous. We're October and you've already made me nervous. That's good. But thanks for painting a bit of a picture. I guess that's part of practicing is what you're basically saying.
Just plan.
You've got a bit of a plan, and if you've got a bit of a checklist, then there's less likely for mistakes to happen.
That's right. You practice the stuff now while you can, and don't practice on race day. Just be confident in what you're doing, know where you are, know where your gear is, and enjoy it. That's what you've trained for.
Yeah, good. And we're talking about training today. In terms of the show tonight, we're going to talk about strength training. So we're going to kick off the show shortly with Kim Vargo. She's a strength coach who specializes with working with endurance athletes. So really, we're looking forward to talking to Kim about the importance of strength training and how we can incorporate it into an already packed schedule when dealing with kayaking, running, cycling, not forgetting a bit of recovery, maybe some sleeping in there, and hopefully some family time. And oh, this is your job that you need to make sure you stay employed with as well. So how do we do that? So Kim's going to share the fundamentals that every endurance athlete should be doing on a regular basis. So we're going to have a chat to Kim. We're also going to chat to Arthur Tompkins. Arthur's a district court judge and an art crime specialist and a passionate coast-to-coast competitor who has completed in the event 8 times. He's been a key driver of getting the Aotea College team just out of Wellington to the start line of the event over the past few years as well. So looking forward to sharing Arthur's coast-to-coast learnings and some highlights from his experiences as well. And we're going to finish up the show with Sophie and Nicole as we follow their journey through to the start line of the tandem team section. Going to catch up with them to see how they're progressing as they prepare for their first crack of the coast-to-coast in 2022.
Wow, what a show. What a show.
Absolutely. But before we get started, shall we do our pop quiz, our world famous pop quiz?
Yeah, let's bring in the rest of the team.
So we'll bring in everybody. Now, I need to say for a start, Arthur is here because he texted me after last week's show to say that I got one of the answers wrong, that I left out the fact my question was, name the four rivers that you will get wet from in the coast to coast. And my answer was the Deception, the Minga, the Beely, and the Waimak. But there's also another river. Does anyone know the other river at all, other than Arthur? Arthur, do you want to tell us?
The Otira. The Otira. Because Deception joins the Otira at the Deception footbridge. So you actually cross that once, and then you get into the Deception.
That's right. That's that first little bit where you go, holy heck, that's chilly.
And deep.
And deep, exactly. How could we forget that one? So let's get underway with this pop quiz. 5 questions from the all to do with the coast to coast. So to answer a question, you need to say buzz and raise your hand at the same time. Matt's watching you, so he's if you're at home, see if you can get the questions before these guys do. So the first question, are we ready?
Yes.
Born ready. Yeah.
What was the first year the Coast to Coast was run?
Okay.
Buzz, 1984.
Oh, Arthur, there, where you go?
1984.
Oh,
no.
Well, this is the 40-year anniversary, isn't it?
So what do we got, Kim?
So if this is the 40-year anniversary, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
We go back 40 years.
Yes, so what's your answer,
Kim? I'm gonna go with 81.
Oh, it's not the answer I got.
No. Go, Sophie.
1982.
Oh, yes.
We have another crack.
Okay, no. Nicole, bring it home.
So it's not 1981, it's not 1982, it's not 1984.
Let's go 83.
Yay!
What's our winner?
Thank goodness the math teacher got that one, eh?
Yeah. Well done.
Good job. We better move along.
Okay. All right. Second question. Name an Australian winner of the Coast to Coast longest day. An Australian winner.
Oh, yes. Go, Sophie.
John Jacoby?
Correct. Well done. Good answer.
That's very good. And was that the only one? Is there someone else that's come close at all, Sophie, in your research and your just general knowledge of the coast to coast?
I think there was a second place Australian. Maybe Hunt.
Pretty close. Maybe we'll get half a point for that, eh?
Well done, Sonny. Good job. Okay, next question. How high is Goat's Pass above sea level?
High enough to make you don't want to go up.
Arthur, where you go?
1,000 meters.
Yeah, we'll give you that. 1,070. Yeah, well done.
Yep. Just remember yourself when you go past Goat Pass next time. There's always sign on the hut that says what it is. So you'll remember that next time you go.
Yeah, nice work. Okay. And we've got question number four. Name the location of the kayak get out.
Waimakariri Gorge Bridge.
Yes, well done. Well done. We'll give you that, Arthur. I'm not sure if your buzzer was working, but we'll have to give you that one. And Kim, this one, I'm sure you're about to get this. You ready? So 1983 was the first year that the Coast to Coast was run. Our final question number five, how old were you when the Coast to Coast was first run? Anybody? Oh, Sophie?
-9.
There you go. Good job. Well done.
How about you, Rich?
I was just starting school. 5.
Good job.
I was 23.
Excellent. Nice. That's awesome.
Good. Yeah, cool. All right. Well, that was an interesting quiz. I guess for our guests on in the following shows, you might want to do a bit of research because, some of those questions are pretty tricky. But anyway, we're just going to get rid of a few of our guests for now. They'll be coming back into the show a bit later on. But welcome along, Kim.
Hello.
Not new to the show, but...
I'm still trying to figure out how 40 years is 1983, but, that's okay.
I won't judge you, Kim. You're a strength coach. You're not a mathematician.
I know,
that's
right?
Okay.
I've got a D degree. We'll go with that one. Yeah, awesome.
Excellent. So, Kim, do you want to just kick off? You're a strength coach for Team CP and specialize in strength training for endurance athletes. How long have you been involved in the fitness industry? Like, you've been involved in it for a while now. So, give us a bit of a background about where you've come from and what you've done to be here.
Yeah, sure. Now that I'm thinking of dates and stuff, it's kind of embarrassing. I started back in 1997. I graduated high school, but I was doing some athletic training or sports physio work then, and working with athletes. And that was kind of what started my passion to pursue a degree in athletic training at university. So I have a 4-year bachelor of science degree with in athletic training. So we specialize in strength and conditioning, rehab, prehab, just everything you can think of with athletes, how to keep them injury free. Keeping them on the field, dealing with just broad scope of stuff. Moved to New Zealand and then got into some gyms, owned a couple of women's gyms. That was quite fun, very eye-opening experience. I've done lots of different types of CrossFit stuff. I've worked for strength and conditioning gyms as well, and have just recently, the last couple of years, owned my own strength and conditioning gym. And always kind of just been training people. It's a big passion of mine, and just seeing their increase in their performance because of the strength that they're actually doing. And it's just fantastic to watch.
Yeah, good job. So why is strength training important, and why should we be doing some of it?
Well, how long do you have?
We've got 2 minutes. Shall we do that?
I think strength training is just fundamental. It's just... what it can do for an athlete is just take them to that next level when it comes to the performance. As some benefits are, it's great for your muscles and your tendons, and it's really great with injury prevention. It just increases your capacity to be more efficient as an athlete. Mm-hmm. You can be putting out less amounts of work and getting higher rates of return for that. And it's fun. And it's also just something that it's going to take you, not just where you're training for what you're doing as an event, but just as we get older and as we age, strength training now and strength training later is going to keep us fit and healthy for life. So it's not mm-hmm. just a competition age. It is post-competition stuff that we need to be thinking about as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Nice. Well, good, concise question there, Kim. That's good. Yeah, fantastic. But you talk about athletes, and you're as an athlete, we should be doing this. So is it just for the elite? for those that are trying to win the event, or actually, hey, Nicole and Sophie, for example, or Arthur, others that are trying to do their best, is it for the rest of us as well?
I think, if I'm going to come up with a phrase of average Joe, because that's what I am, and a lot of people that I work with, they're working, their moms, their dads, their, you know, their parents, their spouses, they've got a career. They probably need it more than the elite athlete. They haven't spent the amount of time that an elite athlete has in developing their foundations of training. I can guarantee elite athletes are doing strength training because they can see the benefit of it and they know the benefit. But is it for elite athletes only? Absolutely not. It needs to be in the everyday training protocols of the average Joe that wants to get out there. It doesn't, when you think about multi-sport, it needs to be considered another discipline that you're going to be doing. It's just something that you need to make the time to do.
Right. So, and that brings us to our next question. I said this right at the top of the show: kayaking, running, cycling, recovery, sleeping, some family time, your job. How do we incorporate it into a already packed training schedule? Right. So we know that we need to do it. We know it's useful for us, and we know we're going to be. It's going to be good for us, injury being less likely to be injured, and we're going to be able to move better for it. But what are some strategies to actually increase the chances of it actually happening? Because let's face it, you mentioned that it was enjoyable, but I'm sure there's some people that would much rather go for a run or a bike ride or a paddle than actually going to the gym.
I think the biggest strategy is putting it into your training plan as a non-negotiable. It is just something that you have to do. But in doing that, another strategy would be just have a couple of pieces of equipment at home. It doesn't have to be an hour session. You know, something 15 to 30 minutes is very, very achievable for most people. And I like to tack it on after I've done some type of training. So if I've gone on to, I've done a Zwift session and I'm already warm, I'm going to go straight into my weight program. And that just makes it more efficient. But if you're going to do something from home, something like a couple of kettlebells, a couple of dumbbells and some bands, you can get an excellent workout with just that. And if you have the opportunity to be part of a gym, 100% use those tools there. But it's about making it short and concise. But also making it just a non-negotiable. I have to do my strength training. I need to do it a minimum of twice a week, or it also depends on where you are within your season as well. But it just, it is a discipline. Your kayaking is a discipline. Everything is a discipline. It just needs to be done.
Yeah, I found myself with it is that if I go running and I'll do it afterwards, I don't do it because I'm too tired, or B, I'll make my run longer because I want to go and see what's down that way, or make my bike ride longer, so I'll get back and I won't do it, or the family take over and other things happen. So what my strategy is if I'm gonna like strength training, I'll do it, but it has to be beforehand. It's a bit like I have to eat my veggies before I have my dessert, sort of thing. So at least it might mean that the run might not be perfect and I might be a bit, I need to walk for a start, but at least it actually gets done and I feel good about that.
It has to work for you. I think that's the biggest thing, is what people's schedules are, what the coaches have programmed. It's got to be something that you are willing to just commit the time to do.
Awesome. So with that said, what are your key go-to exercises for a multi-sport athlete lining up for the coast to coast? Is it, do I just need to do some core stuff because I'm already doing some biking for my legs and some arms with my paddling, or what should I be doing? What is a bit of a mixture? What are some key exercises?
Yeah, sure. Most of the time, if you think about just kind of the scope of it, you want to be doing a hinging movement, a squat, a press, a pull, a carry. So any of those kind of movements incorporate a lot of core on its own. A lot of people think core is just sit-ups, right? I've got to get a nice tight six-pack and I'm going to be strong. But if you're doing those hinging, so like a deadlift and a squat and a push and a pull, you're getting massive core activation just with those movements themselves. Look, and 100% throw in extra core stuff as well. But those kind of five basic movements, you can come up with a lot of different patterns with that are applicable to your multi-sport disciplines that you're doing.
So just going through those again. So a push, that's straightforward, isn't it? Just a push forward with your arm.
Push press, like overhead pushing.
Pushing away from my body.
Yep. A hinge would be a deadlift or like a kettlebell swing, something with your posterior chain.
So the hinge is bending from the hips is basically what a hinge means.
And then you're coming into a full extension at the top. Squat, you know, like a front squat, a back squat, an air squat, an overhead squat, something like that. A pole would be like a back row or a table row or a pull up, something like that. And a carry is a really good one, like a really heavy farmer's carry. So that's just working on your grip, your forearm, and kind of just your shoulders and everything. Like the core activation with a carry like that is massive, actually.
So you're tying shopping bag arms. You're basically trying to do all the shopping in one hat, basically into the house. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I do that all the time, and then I kind of have to reset my shoulders and keep my, you know, my lats on and my traps, and yeah, I'm good to go with six bags because I'm not going back to that car if I don't have to.
One trip, Kim. Yeah, exactly. So push, go on your watch, and then go for it. No, that's fantastic. Nice one. So, and obviously there's lots of different information out there in terms of to give you a bit of a hand with that. As part of, like you talked about, like that 20-30 minute sort of strength session, which is optimal, and that's really good. We've worked on a bit of a 7-minute abs thing, haven't we? Again, just to make sure that's actually happening. And maybe that's what we can do as part of this podcast. We can put that 7-minute abs link in there so you can at least, that's something to do, because something's better than nothing at the end of the day, isn't it?
Absolutely. Something is better than nothing. And I think you just, if you can get it in the mindset that it's not just the competition, something that I've said before, it's not just your competition time, it is for life. Strength training is important for life as you carry on. You know, like as you bend over to pick up the groceries, you know, if you're putting stuff away high overhead, that's pushing, that's pulling. There's all these different movements that are very relative to as we age and get older. So if we're strength training now, we're only going to get ourselves stronger and safer as we get older.
Cool. Lots and lots of strength. One of my questions is that Go Pass is a, I mean, it's a challenging run. It's not a home down the footpath by any stretch of the imagination. And I guess particularly for two-day athletes, it's the old, I've finished the day, I'll rehydrate, I'll do some stretches, have something to eat. And the next morning I get up and my IT bands are buggered, absolutely buggered. Yeah. So exercises and strength related to those sorts of things.
Yeah, so ITB is generally a lot of weakness. It's in your tensor fascia, lata is the muscle, actually. It sounds like a coffee. The best thing you can do is work on your glute med strength. So, you know, doing some banded clams and working on some lunges and also thinking about some hip flexor strength and mobility stuff. The day after, some, you know, lots of stretching and mobility. And it's just something that you have to think about holistically when you think about the strength things, and you're running, you know, what are your shoes? What are you wearing? What's going on? Were you carrying a pack? Are you changing your stride? And that's why sometimes it's so important to keep going through Goat's Pass or practicing with other people or getting similar terrain so that you can see how you're going to feel as a result of that experience. And so they can be like, wow, I was actually really sore. My ITs were sore. Okay, so I need to be working on that, strengthening the glutes and working on the lunges and all that kind of stuff. And then with that, then you know, okay, well, I have a potential to be sore in that area. So let's focus more on those kind of strengthening those areas as well.
Yeah, great. Good advice. Yeah.
Cool.
Excellent. How do people get in touch if they want, like, do you have to, yeah, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm on Facebook, so you can find me that way. Or if you get involved on the TNCP website, there's a link under strength for me. You can fill out a little, I think, a question if you want, or flick Richard a text or whatever. But definitely here to help. And just it's awesome to see a lot of my athletes are just going from strength to strength across the board. No pun intended.
Strength, that's good. And you don't need to be in Christchurch. You can be locked down in Auckland or Melbourne or wherever you are. As well.
Absolutely.
You do online stuff.
Yeah. We do lots of online stuff, but lots of clients in Australia and up in Auckland, and we're just making it work with what we can, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Good job. Well done. Yeah. Awesome, Kim. Cool. Thanks for your insights.
Thanks, Kim. Well, we'll be seeing you at the start line, Kim.
Oh, questionable. Actually, I'm nursing a bit of an injury, but listening to you start about that start line, man, brought back all the memories. I was like, oh my goodness, yeah. I was there and felt that. Hopefully, but we'll just see.
We'll see you there.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Kim. See you later.
Good job, Matt. What does your strength training look like? What are your go-tos?
Plenty of lunges. Lunges at the fridge normally.
Lunging to the fridge?
Sorry?
Lunging to the fridge?
Lunging to the fridge, yes. Yeah, squats as I sit down on the couch, they're quite good. Done in reps of one normally, okay, and those sorts of things. Yeah. Okay. How about you?
Yeah, like I did my 7-minute abs routine this morning, so I've claimed that. but also, last Friday, we did a bunch of filming with Kim, and which involved 2.5 hours of filming, like a refilming our street library. So I've been completely broken for a few days now, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not definitely not to recommend that one, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, we've got a comment that's come in from the viewers tonight. Jason Mill, he is, I've known him for a while, and he's actually the transition manager at Brighton Beach. Now, his little piece of advice is that when you take your shoes off after that first run, if your name or number is not on them, you're very unlikely to get them back because the next place you'll find them is at Brighton Beach. So thanks, Jason, for that. Yeah, just name everything. Just name. Sticky tape, Vivid marker, whatever you need. But if you want those things back, put your number on them. But
And as he mentioned, they actually put them in pairs for you. So how good is that? That's
they do. Looking up it's great. Especially when you get there and you're a little bit tired, need a wee cup of tea and a lie down to find that little favourite pair of shoes. You're like, oh, I never thought I'd see them again. So it's like meeting an old friend sometimes.
good job. Yeah. Hey, should we move on? Box on?
Yeah.
And drag Arthur into the show.
Let's bring Arthur in. Arthur, welcome along.
Hi there, guys.
How are we getting on tonight?
Very well, thank you. Yep, looking forward to the show.
Yeah, fantastic. Great to have you joining us. You're based in Wellington, Arthur, and you've done this coast to coast a few times now. What made you first want to enter it back in 2012? Was that your first one?
2013. So we'd been support crew for our son Benedict in 2011, and I can pinpoint the moment when I decided to enter it, standing on the riverbank at Mount White, having pushed him off in the kayak, looking down the river and saw what the hell happens down there for the next 5 hours.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing that, you know, we'd gone down there as support crew for him, knowing nothing about the event at all. And, you know, just standing there watching him paddle off and thinking, whoa, I wonder what's down that river. So, that was what started it.
And you sent me a photo, which is your favourite photo of the coast to coast, which is exactly that image, isn't it? With Panthers heading off down in there, and with the sun rising at the start of the day.
Yeah, it's I've got a framed copy of that on my desk. I just love that image, and it's just so nice when you finally get on the river, and you know you feel all the exhaustion kind of ebb away, and you think, this is my happy place.
That's right. Just get into your rhythm, get through those first couple of little rapids and just get going from there. Arthur, you're based in Wellington. Could you and part of the series this year as we're sort of trying to get around the country a bit, we sort of had a chat around Auckland last week. So based in Wellington, could you name a couple of key events that maybe locals and outside of town should have on their radar, and maybe some clubs and other groups that are happening locally that maybe others should know about?
So there's a couple of kind of the major multi-sport events each year, the Porirua Grand Traverse, which starts in Te Tahi Bay and then comes over the hill to Porirua. The other one is the Crazy Man, which is based in Petone. And so those would be, I guess, the two main multi-sport events. We're members of the Coupe Canoe Club. There's always a bunch of people down there in Evans Bay and getting ready for coast. It's always really challenging in Wellington getting out. You know, if it's not a northerly, it's a southerly. And you certainly get some good stability training on Wellington Harbour in your kayak. But it's you know, on a calm day, it's lovely. It's around to the Oriental Bay Fountain and back. That's pretty much exactly an hour. You can carry on around the waterfront. The Lake Wairarapa charity rides over in Marlborough, over the Rimatakas. There's always some crazy people who ride over to those rides, do them, and then ride back again, which just seems a bit excessive. So Yeah, and you know, there's great trail running around Wellington, particularly we live in Breaker Bay on the south coast, and the south coast path that goes all the way around the south coast is just fantastic. And then there's the slog uphill to the wind turbine and the Ray Dome above Red Rocks on the south coast. So those are some fantastic areas.
Yeah, brilliant. That's fantastic. And if you're listening to this at the moment or after the show, feel free to plug in a couple of your favourite Wellington things that are going on that others should be knowing about as well, that maybe Arthur hasn't mentioned tonight. So Arthur, you're a district court judge, which must be a pretty high pressure role. How do you fit your training time into a work week? How do you do that?
You have to just take the opportunities that present themselves, particularly for kayaking. If it's flat, you want to get out on the water because it won't be flat for the next week, kind of thing. I heard mention of Zwift. I'm a very keen user of Zwift in my garage and, spend a lot of time on Zwift. The Wellington roads are not the best to venture out in for cyclists. That's a great way of training. And as I said, around the south coast, there are some pretty nice trails. And, you can be quite a long way away from civilization on the south coast of Wellington. So that's good.
Nice. You've been a big driver of getting the Aotea College team involved in the Coast to Coast. Why do you think this is such a great thing for young people to do, based on your experiences?
Yeah, I think with them, a lot of times when I go along and when we have the people, the students come along who are interested, and we tell them what's involved, you can almost see them sitting there thinking, I'm never going to be able to do that. That's just way too much, way too big.
I think we all thought that, though, didn't we? Definitely thought that.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we introduce it to them in kind of small chunks, and we get them, we talk them through it, we take them out, we get them to just start taking the first steps, and then, next weekend we're taking the kayakers up to the Mohaka River and Hawke's Bay. You know, that'll be their first outing on moving water. And then we take them down. We have a reconnaissance and training weekend in mid-December. We take the whole team down there. So we've got a bunch of sponsors. So thank you very much to Inter Islander for the travel across Cook Strait and the local Toyota dealer, Rutherford and Bond. They give us a vehicle to use. We take them all down there and, we kind of introduce them to us. And we say, this is where you're going to be on race day. And that's a really big thing. The first year I did it, there was a little bit of pushback. Do we really need to go down in December? And I said, yeah, you really need to go down so that when you go down on race day, this is familiar ground. You've been over it before. You know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's – and to see them at the end, they are so buzzing about the achievement. It's just a fantastic thing. So it's just that. And, a lot of them have gone on to – and their parents have said, that experience taught them that they can do what they want to do.
Yeah, good. And that's the key thing, and that's the reason why you do it, eh?
Yeah, well, and also the fact that I was at university with the principal of Aotea College more years ago than both of us care to remember. But I've sworn that I won't reveal any of her secrets to her current students. So,
Oh, that's fantastic. You've got a pretty awesome support crew document as part of that that you've put together and refined and continue to refine over the years. Can you maybe share one or two key gems from the notes that maybe most new coast-to-coasters may not be aware of and might not be sort of a key thing that's often talked about, but obviously not revealing all your secrets either?
I think I've got two for the athletes and two for the support crew. The two right. for the athletes is on that first ride that we've already talked about, the bunches can get pretty big. But there are also one-lane bridges. So it's really worthwhile knowing when those one-lane bridges are coming up, because you do not want to be caught in the middle of a big bunch. It's kind of like toothpaste being squeezed back into the tube. When the bunch narrows down to go over those one lane bridges, you want to have room to move. So you want to know when those are coming up. I have a bit of duct tape on my top tube of the bike with the distances written on, so I know when they're coming up. And kilometer or so out, I'll just start to make sure I've got room to move before getting those one lane bridges. So that's the first one. Second one is use your cycle gloves on the goat pass run, because after your hands have got wet and after you've grabbed a few boulders and a few trees and things, you don't want to be cutting your hands. And if you take your cycle gloves on that run, you won't be cutting your hands. And the third one for the athletes is a very practical one. When you're walking down to the beach before the start, use the portaloos on the road on the way down, because the ones at the beach get real, the lines get real long.
So. Yeah, it's not good with the starting your race when you're standing in the portaloo line. That's not ideal being in there.
And for the support crew, it's going to be cold at Aitkins in the morning and at Mount White Bridge on Saturday morning. It's, you know, it might be the middle of summer, but in the early hours around dawn, it's going to be cold. So make sure you've got warm clothes and something to sit on, because the grass is always wet and, you know, you want to have something. The support crew are going to be doing quite a lot of waiting around before the moments of panic when the competitor arrives. So you want to have something to sit on when you're waiting for them. I guess those would be a couple of the ones that, you might not sort of think about before you set out to do it the first time.
That's right. And they're going to make your experience better and more comfortable, aren't they?
Yeah, there's always somebody who turns up at Aitkins and their support crew are not there and they've arrived and they're looking for them or they're in the wrong place. So, you know, really look after your support crew and make sure they know everything. That handbook came out of all the various checklists to make sure that everything's in the right place at the right time, in the right order, when you need it to be. You don't want to be, as every year it happens, somebody comes in and the announcer says, "This competitor so-and-so, where's your support crew?" And they're wandering around. Yeah.
Yes.
You don't want that. Amazing.
No, absolutely. What are you most looking forward to in 2022, in the 40th year of the Coast to Coast?
I think just getting to the start line is going to be a big deal. I'm carrying a bit of an injured calf at the moment, so, you know, that's a bit frustrating. But getting on the river and just knowing that, you know, even if you stop paddling, you're still getting to the finish line at 14 kilometres an hour. and just, you know, enjoying that paddle and knowing that, you know, it's you're almost there. The last bike ride is kind of straight and downhill and boring and into a headwind, but that gorge, getting onto the river, I'm really looking forward to that. And finally, I think that last corner of the cycle, when you come into New Brighton and you turn onto Beach Road, and you know you're maybe a kilometre and a half from the finish, you can see the orange cones that are getting more and more and more of them, and you can start hearing the crowd. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that a lot. I'm not looking forward to being passed by Sam Clark when he's doing about twice my speed on that final ride. And that's happened to me a few times now.
Just gives the impetus to keep going.
Yeah.
You made the comment about using the toilets before you get to the start line. But from a media point of view, the queues at the toilets are absolutely fantastic because no one's going to run away from an interview. So, you know, it's good. Easy pickings.
Yeah.
You've done the event a few times. What's your favourite piece of kit or something you've had to modify that was like, that was well worth it?
Oh, I think, yeah, it's a bit of the orange. Getting a spray skirt with a pocket on the top so that, you know, you can have your licorice all sorts in a plastic bag readily at hand. That's a favourite piece of kit.
Those really simple little things, isn't it, that, you know, I guess that's, as a support crew or an athlete, you don't see what everyone has. And again, I guess that's a key note. If you've got someone that is going to do the event a few times, just ask support crews what people do.
And the Coast to Coast community is really, really supportive. And, you know, there are lots of people around who know a lot about this event. So, and, you know, we're always happy to talk about it. So
It's certainly not the secret that it used to be 20 years ago, is it, kind of thing?
No. Everyone just,
wants to get out and help each other. So, yeah. Hey, all the best for your 2022 efforts, Arthur, and thanks for your time on the show tonight. Eh?
It's a pleasure.
Good okay. stuff. Yeah, okay. looking forward to seeing you on the start line. Well done, Arthur.
Yep. Okay, catch you later on. Crikey. So it's actually 129 sleeps until the coast to coast, Richard. Did you know that?
That all. That doesn't feel like very many, does it?
So a question that a lot of people start asking is already is, I don't feel I'm ready, or have I done enough, or do I need to do, how much should I be doing? What's your, as a coach, what's your response to that?
Yeah, I think like it's, that was almost, have I done enough, summed up when in 2005 when I was doing the longest stay and was chatting to Richard Usher prior to the race and sort of asking, how's your training gone and things, and he mentioned that I don't really think I've done enough, and he did okay that year. So I think that's, nobody ever feels that they've ever done enough, so yeah. I think that's maybe something to sort of put there for a start. I guess it's October, with spring, daylight savings has started to happen, so that helps, doesn't it, and we're coming out of winter now. I guess thinking about that sort of big picture periodized plan that we talk about as a sort of coach and as we're trying to plan things out, like I think the key thing currently is we don't need to be doing the race just yet. Yes, we're 129 sleeps, but it's still a good 4 months away. I think the key thing we want to be thinking about at the moment is actually doing a little bit of everything. So if you're doing an individual event, you need to be doing some strength training. Kim will be pleased that I said that first. You need to be doing some kayaking and some biking and some running and doing all those disciplines and maybe using ways to help you increase the chance of doing it. So like I talked about, doing some strength and then doing a run, or doing a bike and then a run off the bike. That's another run. That's, it might only be 20 minutes, but it's still another run session. So can you fit 2 or 3 sessions of each in a week? And they don't need to be long. Hey, 20 minutes of each, that's a run and a kayak, and then, hey, that's done. So I'd say that's the first thing, to look at doing a little bit of everything. And then it also, especially if it's your first time around, or if you're trying to refine things and do better, is you've also got to think about skills. Like this race is a technical race. Yeah. And if you can think about just being a bit more efficient, that's going to help you go faster. So paddle technique, get some feedback around that, run technique, how are you actually pedaling your bike? We can jump on Zwift and we can mash the pedals, but are we actually engaging our hammies, and how can we be more efficient? Bike setup even. So just thinking about some of those things still is still super important. So I'd say don't feel like you have to overdo it. It's still a long way to go. And just as Arthur said, Naren is another person I talked to, Emma, earlier on today, and what's your goals for the race is actually about getting to the start line is the goal. So we don't want to be peaking in December, we want to be peaking in February. So just be patient and just do the disciplines and you'll be good.
Yeah, I think because I guess the flip side of that is, you know, you do too much, you start to get injured, and then you kind of have to have rests and to recover from injuries and those sorts of things too, eh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you do get injured, then it takes a while to kind of look after yourself, recover, and then build yourself back up again. So if you can stay injury-free, that makes a massive difference, and just stay healthy as well. Yep,
yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I add to that, and there are really good things about around, I guess, your physical self as to what you're doing, but it's also a good opportunity to test all that gear and stuff too, isn't it? Make sure your jacket works. Go for a run in the rain. You know, climb through a river. Do your shoes drain? You know, all that sort of stuff. You know, load your pack up with what you're going to expect to wear on the day and go for a run for 2 or 3 hours. Again, it doesn't have to be massive. You'll soon figure it out after, you know, if you go for a run and find out that after half an hour something's digging into your back, well, it's a good time to find now, and it might just be the way you pack your pack or something like that, eh?
100%, absolutely. We've got Sophie and Nicole coming on to the show, and I guess as a bit of a segue, we did. Nicole joined our Zwift session on Monday morning, first thing, 6 a.m. And 6:45, we were done. I was puffed, and I was sort of staggering my way back into the house. And then I hear later that Nicole's gone for a run after a bike ride, and it was raining and miserable. And
good girl.
So she's done very, very well. Yeah. Are they back in the backstage here, Matt?
They are. Let's bring them on. Just turn the microphones on. Hey, how are you tonight, ladies?
Hey guys, how are we going?
Clearly, with those sorts of comments, the Zwift session either wasn't hard enough or you didn't go hard enough if you still had energy to run, because I've done a few of those sessions and, running afterwards is definitely not on the cards for me.
Yeah, it was very much a plod. A Plot in the Rain, and like it was on the training plan, so it was locked in. I had to do it. Yeah, so but good. Yeah, was home by 7:30 and workout's done for the day, so it was pretty good feeling.
Nice you work. Need to message me next time, Nicole, for that one, and actually make sure I maybe do that as well.
Yeah, I'll hold you accountable. Sounds good.
Most definitely. Yeah, so how's the training going, girls?
Training's going pretty well, I'd say. Yeah. We're pretty lucky. It's school holidays at the moment, so we've kind of got the luxury to not have the alarm going off, apart from yesterday morning, obviously. But yeah, getting lots of good variety in and being able to, I guess, like you said, Rich, work on those transitions, trying to build in, the double sessions and getting the jelly legs going off the bike onto the run and those kind of things. So yeah, as the weather gets warmer, we're quite excited to be able to spend probably a bit more time on the kayaks, which we haven't had so much of, or haven't been so motivated with the weather. So yeah, that'll be really cool to do a bit more of that.
What's the highlight that you've had over the past month?
So if you've had some adventures.
I just got back from the 11-day school camp, which was pretty cool. It means that the training's been a bit inconsistent, but I got to do some kayaking down in the Closer and the Hawea. So that was really cool. It was since we sort of started this journey, it was my first time on moving water. So that's been a real highlight because it's sort of given me a bit more confidence before we go into our grade 2 course, which is this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, fantastic. So that's cool to look forward to. What's the biggest challenge been over the past month? Hardest bit?
Mine would be consistency. There's been a lot going on with work and, having been away with school for 11 days, consistency has been a bit of a challenge this month.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Nicole?
Mine's those pesky magpies.
Tell us about that. So you rode from Christchurch to Ashburton via the back roads and you were having a lovely time. Just it's the best time in the world. You were enjoying yourself to Leeston. And what happened after that?
Yeah, it was. It was probably my best bike ride I've had. It was a great, lovely day. Weather was awesome. Got to Leeston, had my little fuel stop and then just heading out of Leeston, going past the golf course. And had a night, the sun was behind me, obviously, going south. And all of a sudden, I just saw this big black shadow getting closer towards me. And I'd kind of been warned about the magpies, but there's nothing like it. Even just talking about it now, I'm feeling very, all the emotions are coming back. So I had that and kind of just instinctively natural behavior was just to kind of throw my arms at the air and probably not the best thing, but luckily there was not much traffic around. And so kind of managed to just put my head down and go for it and sprinted for probably was only about a minute, but it felt like far longer. And then probably between Leeson and Rakaia had pretty much constantly just turning around, felt like I was, constantly getting attacked by them. Springtime, I guess probably not the best time to be going riding, but I guess I've learnt my lesson now.
Good though, isn't it? Sophie, you're going to be able to use that on the final bike ride of the Coast to Coast when Nicole's flagging a little bit. You just say, watch out, there's a magpie! And
just throw something at me and I'll just, flinch and sprint away probably.
Plus it's up flailing your arms at you, that's the key thing.
Oh, it was not good. And then I remembered I had my bike pump in my back pocket, so I kind of grabbed that out and was waving it around. You'll probably get inundated with magpie hot tips, how to avoid them. You can't really avoid them, I guess. But, I've heard the, cable ties off your helmet. And if there's any other hot tips out there, we're all ears. We'll try, nearly anything.
Have you still got your pump, Nicole, or did it go missing as you threw it behind you to hit the magpie?
No, I was holding on to it. So I've still got it.
Fantastic. That's awesome. How's the gear list going? This whole Coast to Coast business requires a bit of gear. How are we getting on in that regard?
It's going pretty well. We've got a very intensive spreadsheet. With, lots of tick boxes and suggestions for gear. We're getting more. We've sort of been breaking it into chunks. We did do a bit of a spend up yesterday, stocking up on a lot of thermals for our grade 2 kayaking course. and got ourselves some nice, you know, neoprene shorts, which they're lovely.
Very flattering.
That's awesome. But which leads me to my next question. Sorry.
No, go on.
Yep. Leads me to my next question. So you've got your grade two coming up. Tell us what you've got lined up for the month ahead.
Yeah, so grade two this week, we are entered in the Wanaka Multi at the end of October. So that'll come around pretty quick. And then I'm entered into the Lochmara Half Marathon, which is actually the next weekend. So I'll have to recover pretty quickly. Which I'm really, really excited about. Obviously, really small numbers for that. And it's all still confirmed that we're going ahead, which is very exciting. Really excited to head into that beautiful part of the country. Pretty hilly, though, I hear. So I'll have to ramp up my hill runs to prepare for that, I think.
Fantastic. That's good. And you're going to race together in the Challenge Wanaka event as a tandem team, because that's obviously what you're doing with Coast.
Yes. So good preparation.
Great chance to do all three disciplines.
Yep. Good. So that'll be a good chance just to learn some stuff, won't it? Just in terms of nutrition and transitions, and we'll be able to check in the start of November to make sure that you're still friends and we're still on. This is still good.
I think the key will be getting on the river on our bus,
not
the
kayak.
Yes, that's awesome.
You said you got your grade two coming up. Have you done any pedaling in a double yet? Is there going to be a double in Wanaka, or is it single still?
Yeah, double in Wanaka. And we've done a couple on the Avon, I'd say so.
So who's got dibs on the front seat? Has that been defined yet, or is it still up for discussion?
Yeah, we're still deciding that.
There's
a lot riding on this weekend.
The front's where it's at.
One of us will show a bit more natural attitude.
What would you choose, Rich? If you were going through down the gorge in a double, which would be your choice?
Yeah, I'd be not a very good backseat driver, I'd have to say. It's like, no, you're not going to go. I wouldn't go that way. Oh, what have we done that way for? Yeah.
I think your choice would be, I'm going where the pedals are.
Yes, exactly. It was really interesting last year with our podcast. We talked to Matt Bateman and Thomasina, and I think they decided on the Avon, actually, because Thomasina just couldn't keep it straight at all. She was all over the shop. So I guess you both got through that part of the selection criteria, so it'll be interesting to see how you go on your grade two certificate.
Yeah, whereabouts is your grade two certificate being held?
It's just been moved, actually. We went to it on the Hiranui, but the flow is not looking great, so we'll be back up in Murch.
Nice. Cool. There's some cool paddling and medicine. Yeah. Yep. Oh, you'll go well. Just that first dip, the head dip in the water, it'll be, woohoo, it's a bit chilly. But you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yep. We'll look forward to the stories to tell. Good stuff, team.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for your time tonight, ladies. And go well at Wanaka and up in the Marlborough Sounds. Make sure you look around, because it's pretty nice running up around there. It's a pretty nice part of the countryside. So keep safe, train well. And we'll check in when you'll be grade two qualified, eh?
Hopefully.
Well done, team. Thanks, Eve.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Yeah. Well done, Matt.
Grade twos, eh? Takes me back a few years.
Yeah, it does. I think I got mine off the back of a Weet-Bix box. The guy just sort of signed it up probably that was the year 2000, back in the day, as I was doing a bit of kayak guiding, or sea kayak guiding, and you'll be fine. So that was it's a bit more stringent these days, which is good.
So you kind of need to know a little bit more about which end the rudder goes at.
Yeah, exactly. Which way around to sit in your boat, that's right.
No, that's cool. Yeah. All good. Good stuff. Exciting times. As I say, 129 sleeps to go.
129
A few things have been done between now and then.
There has been a few of those. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll definitely get amongst that. Just on other stuff going on, our support crew service for internationals that we've sort of done, actually not just internationals, but all of a sudden we've got a whole bunch of extra spots. We had 9 guys coming from Ireland who are not coming anymore, and a few Aussies and things. So we actually got some availability there. So if you want your wife, your partner, your kids to kind of have a bit more of a cruisy weekend, and I think it might be a bit more bit stressful for them, feel free just to get in touch and we can help you out and help the whole family, etc. So we've got a few extra spots available now with an extra bit of availability, and then also strength training. If you want to get in touch with Kim, just flick us a message and we'll help you out there. Lots of good stuff to learn so you can get amongst it and be injury free and enjoy your whole coast to coast journey.
Yeah, that comment you made about families and stuff for one days and those sorts of things, really important that over the years we've seen a number of people, number of families, I guess, that will kind of join up with the athletes at Klondike Corner and then kind of follow them there through to the finish. Obviously getting kids up at 5 o'clock in the morning is okay if you don't need to keep them awake for the rest of the day. So, good option, especially if you're travelling from Christchurch. We'll take care of people, get them to the start line, get them on their way, and then you can kind of catch up with them at Klondike Corner and see them, about lunchtime, and then kind of follow them through to the finish line. So it's a really good option. So, but yeah, if you've got any questions, just fire them through if you think of things now or later. But certainly we'd be pleased to have anybody at support crew for helping out. We don't just take elite athletes, although we have had some fairly fast people in the last few years. But we just really enjoy getting people on board, seeing them from the start to the finish, and just kind of seeing them, achieve their goals over this kind of few days. So it's a really cool thing to be part of. So if you need some help, come and see us.
Excellent. So a great big thanks to Kim, Arthur, Sophie and Nicole for sharing with us tonight. Look after yourselves and each other. Go out and make sure you enjoy your training. Make sure you're doing sort of a little bit of everything. Make sure you add some of that strength training in, and give it heaps, and looking forward to catching up with everybody coast to coast wise in 129 days minus a month, whatever that is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, cool, all right, thanks Rich, we'll see you in the next podcast.
Just the best Kiwi event in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
3, 2, 1.